Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 6th of November, recording at 8:55 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first the highlights here. In terms of the Asian stock markets, really one of the big stories here recently, aside from Japan's run and run, which incidentally took a breather in here today, has been the sort of rotational moves that we've actually seen. And this has included some rather dramatic catch-ups recently. You might remember a few weeks ago, I pointed out the Taiwan index down, testing an important previous low, and then where it also saw an upward dynamic this time around, indicating a powerful rally, beg your pardon, or the beginning of a powerful rally, which has tested the year's highs recently. Now today it was the turn of Thailand, where the SET index just surged up over 2.9%, a big powerful upward dynamic. Remember, it had been drifting downwards for weeks and weeks, maybe even months. I posted those charts for you to see, including the point and figures, which I think are really very, very splendid. Now, related to that, the Aberdeen New Thai Investment Trust has been surging into new high ground recently, and that continued on upwards today. That's a core position in my portfolio, as you know. And while part of that gain is attributable to the narrowing of the discount to NAV, it isn't entirely due to that, and also it just shows some very, very good management skills by Hugo Young of Aberdeen and his team. I remain an admirer, a grateful admirer. Now, what else to mention here? Government bonds are stronger in here today. I think there was some data coming out of the U.S. Just refresh my memory as to what caused that. The factor was, I think, productivity figures had improved. A lot of people see this data and they say, oh, well, statistic du jour, and most of it's hedonics anyway. But at any rate, that's the factor, that the news item that triggered that bond market rally. I maintain that there isn't a great deal of upside for bonds. In other words, that we're not going to see long-dated government bond yields come down very much, not at least without a major stock market sell-off, and that is not imminent in my view. Again, sticking with stock markets, I maintain that the secular bear on Wall Street, long defined here as a generational long process of valuation contraction. Well, we have seen a considerable amount of valuation contraction in recent years, making Wall Street much less overbought, or another way to put that is to say that it has made Wall Street more competitive. It's gone from a very uncompetitive position in terms of valuation to one where the disparity is not so great. Although it's hardly shows the valuations of Thailand, for instance, or in some of the other Asian markets. But of course, the risk with Wall Street is if we get one of those second year of a presidential cycle corrections in 2006, which to me is a probability rather than a possibility, that may well coincide with some slowing in the economic growth rate, which would start to expose those valuations again. But nevertheless, right here, right now, and that's what you want to know about, what does the action look like? And we see some signs that the technical bull that we've had since March 2003 is long in the tooth, some signs that it's tiring, some loss of uptrend consistency, definitely shown in some markets. Are these bubbles? No. The only really serious bubbles here in equities right now are the petrodollar markets, mainly the Middle East, and that spills over into some of the North African markets. Those are seriously, seriously overvalued. Now, the good news for market bulls, and I'm in that camp as far as the short to medium term is concerned, is that, and that's certainly reflected by my portfolio, is that the good news is that the NASDAQ index has been outperforming on the upside for Wall Street if you compare it to the particularly the NASDAQ 100, if you compare it to the S&P, which has done pretty well on its own right in the Dow. So the NASDAQ I've often cited as a bit of a lead indicator in terms of the short to medium term swings that we get on Wall Street. And that shows some confidence returning, and there's a reasonable story there. Companies being flush with cash in the US and spending more money on technology, and that's tied in with that Taiwan rally. So, interesting story there, and that's certainly enough to keep these markets, I think, pretty well on course for further gains through the end of the year and into the at least the first quarter of next year before we perhaps get the next downdraft. Now, what looks best in here? Well, I still like these resources. And some of the resources shares have lagged way behind the metals recently. You know my view that the metals are far less risky than the shares. And that view seems to be going from a strictly minority view to one that's gaining credence as people worry about the environmental costs, the heavens, the labor costs, the equipment costs that are all associated with the mining industry, and other costs. But today we had quite a good day in a number of those mining shares. The Inco up very strongly, Silver Standard Resources up strongly. Often the shares have led moves on the upside, but not this time around. It's been very much the metals. And I think there's no sign that the metals run is over, so that suggests to me that these shares are going to follow suit. Newmont Mining, among the majors that I looked at in gold. So I own all those shares that I have just mentioned. Okay, what else to mention in here? The dollar, looking, it's basically ranging against things like the euro and the Swiss franc, and is still in that uptrend against the weak yen because it has no yield, and the BOJ has flooded the market with yen. But the dollar has really been crumbling against resources currencies, high yielding resources currencies, hitting a new low recently against the Canadian dollar. The New Zealand dollar has been rallying strongly as both those countries, New Zealand and Canada, are also raising interest rates. And to me, the dollar looks vulnerable in the sense that it's pretty well discounted the repatriation of capital story. It has pretty well discounted the interest rate differentials story, and that it's a tired bull run, where it is still a bull run. Obviously, it isn't against the Canadian dollar. So I think, when it looks as if the US interest rate cycle has peaked and that rates are possibly even on the way back down, the dollar will be in for a really very vulnerable period, and then people will start talking about the deficits again. But you know my view, the only hard fundamental in the currency markets is interest rate differentials. And well, I should also say that's the only tangible hard fundamental. There's an intangible, or I should say less visible fundamental there, which of course is the amount of the stuff that's being printed. But we're having a printing contest among central bankers, and I don't see that changing. Now, precious metals. This is fascinating in here today. Silver, March silver. March silver slipped down to today to 860 at one point. I looked at it there, hovering around 860, 862 for a while, and I thought, gosh, I should buy more. And I remember I did a little baby step purchases at higher levels yesterday. I thought I should buy more. And then I looked at the chart, of course, brought up the chart, and it confirmed my suspicions. There was a little key day reversal showing in there, and I thought, well, if we get one of those, if it closes on a key day reversal, it might come back more tomorrow, and I'd be able to buy it a little bit lower. Don't chase the thing. And well, it wasn't chasing; it was pulled back down to 860. But at any rate, an hour later, silver was up at gone from it had gone from 860 back up to 885. I think that was a new recovery high or very close to it. And very impressive action. So what I'm seeing in here is some intraday volatility suggesting, well, indicating the market is consolidating gains on that basis within a rising trend. In other words, correcting short-term overbought conditions on a rising basis. And that remains a very, very that remains very bullish technical action. So, what I did though with those two baby steps positions that I purchased, I've got the main bulk of my silver on all protected with in the money stops. I'm not crowding those. I would give up a big chunk of profit. I wouldn't be happy about it. Of course, the markets went down and hit those stop levels. I don't want to overcrowd silver, and I did crowd the stops right up in terms of those two purchases that I made yesterday. I put in little in the money stops on those, which are very close, and I also put out sell orders just above because it's kind of a no-brainer that a number of people will be looking at the $9 level and asking questions around that level. My own feeling is that silver is going one heck of a lot higher over the next many months, as is gold. Silver does better because it's high beta gold, as I've said all along, meaning that it goes up more on the upside and falls more on the downside. Why the appeal of this? Well, again, it's supply inelasticity meets increasing demand, and there is some chunky investment demand coming in, and I'm not just talking about the hedge funds. Talk about the petrodollar people here, and they have many, many billions, and a number of these people are getting bored with currencies. Not surprising, really, is it? When you get silver and gold just outperforming all the currencies, which, as I've been saying for the last 3 years, well, up until this last September, I was saying that silver was gradually being remonetized in the eyes of investors. Well, it was a conversion on the road to Damascus in September when gold broke out against pretty well everything in the reserve currency category, and of course has kept on running. And so, I remain a big enthusiast. Okay, oil in here. Natural gas was down a little bit today. Got overextended yesterday, having surged up, but it's coming down more slowly than it went up. So I'm content to hold the remaining two, I think, to hold the remaining two-thirds of my position there. And crude oil is a steady action, around the $60 level. There's a little bit of minor technical resistance here, but I think the oil market is probably bottomed at $50 on that NYMEX price and is on the way back up. Now, if it moves back up slowly, which might well be the case, in other words, over a matter of weeks, if not months, then that's not going to disturb stock markets too much. But I think markets have lost a tailwind here, which is gradually going to become a headwind once again, and that's likely to be a problem at some point next year, but probably not before then, subject to, unless I've underestimated the speed with which oil prices move back up. If we had any kind of weather-related damage to production facilities, accident, sabotage, anything like that, the oil price could jump very quickly. Okay, folks, that's it. Another exciting day in the markets, and no doubt more interesting developments tomorrow. All the best.